name of God, of the God of Jacob, protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call.
Thank you very much, Ali. It's grand to stand at the front and look at things slightly different. I'm conscious that the acoustics might be different. So if particularly those at the back can't hear me, don't be shy. You know, why you've put your hand to your ear, because I've got a habit of dropping my voice. But it's a delight to stand here and see new carpet and new chairs and smiling faces and all these things. Psalm 20. This is a psalm that was written by David for David. Quite interesting. David was about to go off to battle and he wanted prayer. So he wrote the prayer for other people to say for him. He incorporated in the prayer the specific things that he was worried about or he wanted, but it was for other people to pray. Perhaps the people together. Perhaps a priest was praying it for him. And then halfway through, we see David joining in and his response. I sense it will be a psalm that was recited by many, reciting together. So let's follow that example. And I'm asking that we stand, if you're able, and we say this psalm together now, together, all of it, all nine verses. So, Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant you all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. Please be seated. I hope in saying that together you've captured something of how this psalm would be used with people reciting it together, knowing that the king, David, had asked them to pray specifically in those words. Also in the words we see in this psalm, we see a response from David to the prayers of the people, notably from verse 6 onwards, but we'll get to that. David is so encouraged by these words that when he does join in verse 6, he speaks out in faith. There's a touch almost of Romans chapter 8, verse 37 in it. That's where the verses that say, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So as we think about this psalm in the next few minutes, I'm asking three things of you. Would you think about what you would like for prayers to be offered up for you? In the way that David was going into a battle and he wanted prayers, you'll have your battles, you'll have the things that you worry about, you'll have your needs. What prayers would you like to be offered up for you? would you be prepared to ask somebody else to pray in that way? Or would you keep it all quiet to yourself? Will those prayers hit the spot? Will they be intensely practical? And then when people pray for us, do we find that those prayers uplift us? Do they encourage us? Do they cause us to speak out or leap out in faith? With those things in mind, let's look at the verses of the psalm. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. I think the King James Version or the NIV or the ESV say, when you're in trouble. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress or trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Prayers of the people for the king start with an acknowledgement that David is in it. David is in trouble. David is up to here. He's got a big problem away ahead of him. And sometimes we know what's coming up in our lives, and we can prepare for that spiritually and mentally and physically. But sometimes things come out of nowhere, and they just hit us. I have a good friend who spent his career in the military, and he said to me one, he was very serious. David, he said, so I stood to attention because Bill was talking to me. David, he said, the first casualty of battle is the plan. That plan goes straight out the window. So no matter how much you think you're going to make plans for the future, no matter how much you think you're in control, sometimes things come out of nowhere and just hit us. I'm taking a deep breath, but I want to share something personal. Something that some people have heard this before, and I apologize, some won't. But it relates to this psalm. On June the 11th in 1974, I was a young engineer. I was just out of university. I'd started work on site, on a construction site, and we were driving a tunnel in London. Now, you might think that, well, London has the M25 that goes around it, but it also has a ring main, a water main, that goes all the way around it. 100-inch diameter, Tattersall expanding segments, but I'll not go any further than that. Tunnel in London clay, about 100 foot deep, sometimes 140 foot, depending on whether there's a hill, but all the way around London. And we were just driving the last section of that. And it's connected by a whole series of shafts. So the shafts are about a hole in the ground, about 100 foot deep, with the tunnel coming in at the bottom. And I was a young engineer working on building some landings up the shaft that would be connected by ladders so people could go down the shaft. And we were about halfway up the shaft with building these reinforced concrete landings. And I was standing there with Billy, who was an elderly guy, and we were setting out and all the rest. And there were some welders welding below us, and I smelt some smoke. So I shouted down, "What's going on?" "Nothing, everything's under control," they said. Access to the shaft was the bucket of a crane. The crane lowered slowly down with people in it, and then it lifted them up out. And suddenly one of the guys came up, jumped in the bucket and shouted, "Up!" And the bucket started to go up. I was about 50 foot down in the ground at the time. And just as the bucket got out of reach, the bitumen caught light, and the smoke, I remember the smoke just rising like this, and it became very hot. I had a wet handkerchief in my pocket, which I put over my nose, which made a big difference in stopping breathing in the bitumen. But my hands were burning, my helmet melted, and I saw no way that that bucket could get up and come down, and I knew I was going to die. And I was 22, young, fit, world was my oyster. I did not want to die, but I could see no way out of it at all. And I thought, I must pray. And I was hard up against the wall, and all I could say was, "Oh, Jesus." And that's all I could do. The guy with me thought I was swearing. I couldn't pray. A long story short, Fred Backett, ace crane driver from Dulwich, the bucket got to the top, He free fell it. In other words, he didn't lower it slowly, he just let go and braked when he thought it was about the right level. It hit me on the head. My helmet held, saved the day, knocked me over, but I realized the bucket was there. Billy and I got in the bucket, shouted up, we got out. Hands burnt, helmet burnt, face, all sorts of things. Several weeks in hospital, great hospital, super people, marvelous care. A physiotherapist who banged my chest to make me cough up all the bad things and all that. Anyway, one thing really bothered me. Why couldn't I pray? When the chips were down, and I honestly thought I was going to die, why couldn't I pray? And it bothered me for quite a while, until one day I met this psalm. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. I'd done enough. I didn't need a long, fancy prayer. I didn't need the prayer book. I didn't need to have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, all the things I learned about how to pray. I didn't need any of that. The name of the God of Jacob protected me. The name of the God of Jacob is a powerful name. It's real. It's practical. His name, of course, reflects perfectly his character. Reminds us of a loving Heavenly Father who protects, who redeems, provides, and so much more. Note as well that the reference here is to the God of Jacob. You remember when Jacob was at Bethel, that place where there was a ladder, he had a dream and there was a ladder going from heaven to earth with angels going up and down. That's the point where the Lord repeated his promise to Jacob. So the God of Jacob is a God of promises. In you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed, the Lord said to Jacob. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go. The God who protects us, who answers us in our distress, is the God of promises that are never broken. Promises that are part of his plan for us. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Note here that help and support are being provided. Speaks both of spiritual help and spiritual support. I feel that support seems to say that God will be working through you and not doing it for you. God is helping us. God is supporting us. But it ties in with many verses in Scripture that speak about God's plans. You remember Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, plans to promise you, not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's about getting the approach right when we take action. God will support us. God will help us. Colossians 3 said, when you work for the Lord and work not for men, you're serving the Lord Christ. God will help. God will support. Do we recognize help and support from the Lord? People often speak, how do we get that? People often speak about arrow prayers, those prayers that are short, focused, timely spoken, often silently in times of need, sometimes intense need, a wonderful resource freely available for us. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. After last week's sermon by Graham in Boat, I initially had a bit of trouble with this verse because last week Graham was talking about the things that we do we do as Christians. He made me laugh. He said how many hundreds of hours he'd spent at presbytery meetings in Glasgow, in the most boring meetings ever in my life. He said, didn't count anything towards his Christian salvation. He quoted those chilling words in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you, where Jesus is speaking to Pharisees who felt they'd done all the right things, who they said all the right words, and Jesus said, I never knew you. The things that we think we're doing actually don't matter. It's knowing him and his knowing us that gives us our salvation. seems to say I see these words more of saying that our track record, if you like, does it sway God's help and support? No. It's more about seeking to lead an obedient Christian life, knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour, a Christian life that helps us to be more in tune with God's will and far more likely to recognise his voice and will for us. Helps us with spiritual wisdom. So may he remember all our sacrifices and accept our burnt offerings. These are the things that help us to be attuned with God, to know his will, to follow his will. So when we take action, it's in his will. Similarly in verse 4, may he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. This focuses on what we want and any plans we have. Life is so much more in tune when our desires and plans are aligned with God's desires and plans. A key part of our preparation for a big event, for David, a battle in this case, surely is challenging ourselves whether our desires and the plans of our heart are his desires and plans. I'm going to do something slightly unusual now and ask you for a quiet moment for you to think of something that your heart deeply desires, any related plans that you might have to achieve those desires. And having reflected and thought about that, then to quietly, silently pray, asking that these plans would be attuned with God and that he would speak to you so that they are one and the same. So let's have a quiet moment reflecting on what our hearts desire, what our plans are. And having fixed that, to simply pray, Lord, are these your plans? Are we in tune? Speak to me, Lord. May your heart and my heart be one. May my plans be your plans and your plans my plans. And then in verse 5, may we shout for joy of your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. This verse looks to the outcome of our prayers. Note the acknowledgement that any victory is ascribed to God himself, and the anticipation that this will be the source of praise. Once again, acknowledging the name of the power of the name of God. Verse 6 onwards reflects David speaking out in faith. Imagine David standing at the front, listening to a great crowd of people praying these 5 verses for him before he goes into battle. And what's his response? Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. David immediately acknowledges that victory comes from the Lord. He may be going off to battle, he may be fighting hard, but he recognizes the victory comes from the Lord. He acknowledges that God's hand is upon himself. He acknowledges his role as the anointed, but God is still sovereign, God is still in control. The victory and the praise goes to God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, tanks, elephants, lions, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David trusts in the Lord and his name, not in earthly things, but in the Lord and his name. They're brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Those who trust in earthly things will ultimately fail, whereas the Christian will ultimately prevail through God's salvation and provision. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. The psalm closes with this great shout of the people again entreating the Lord with their prayer for victory for David. So by way of conclusion, when we have a specific need or task ahead, should we follow David's example and be prepared to ask others for prayer? And would those prayers be practical and specific? And when someone prays for us, do we have in mind that we also, when we pray for people specifically, do we have in mind that we also want them to be encouraged and uplifted in their faith? And when folk pray for us, how does it feel? Do we recognize God at work through these prayers? Do we thank Him, give Him the glory? I'm making you work hard today. We're going to stand and we're going to say the psalm again. But as we stand and as we say the psalm, let's reflect on these things that we've thought about. The prayers that we would offer up for others. Practical, specific prayers. The glory that is given to Him when He answers our prayers. Let's stand and say again, Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all your sacrifices, accept your burnt offerings. May He give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.